James in chapter 3 this morning. Have your Bibles. I hope you have your Bibles. How many of you have your Bibles? Say amen.
Amen.
Come to church with your Bible. Amen. That's what we use. Old King James around here. And so there is no other. James chapter number 3. Follow me along. We're going to read the entire chapter together. So I'm going to let you sit instead of having you stand for the length of time. But if you would, follow me along as we read together. My brethren, be not many masters, knowing that we shall receive the greater condemnation. For in many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man, and able also to bridle the whole body. Let me stop there and say in verse 2, he speaks of a perfect man, and that is a mature man. That is a mature Christian who is able to control his tongue. Not being perfect in the sense that you and I think are perfection-wise, but mature in the Lord. So James says that he that is able to bridle this tongue of ours, he is a very mature man. Verse number 3, behold, we put bits in the horse's mouth, that they may obey us, and we turn about their whole body. Behold also the ships which are, though they be great, are driven of fierce winds, yet they turned about with a very small helm, whithersoever the governor listeth. Even so, the tongue is a little member, and boasteth great things. Behold, how great a matter a little fire kindleth. And the tongue is a fire, is the world of iniquity. So are is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body, and setteth on fire the course of nature, and is set on fire of hell. For every kind of beast, and of birds, and of serpents, and of things of the sea, in the sea, is tamed, and hath been tamed of mankind. But the tongue can no man tame. It is an unruly evil, full of deadly poison. James already tells us that the tongue is like a fire, but then the tongue is also like poison. If you study your Bible out, you'll find that there are 5 verbal wounds in the Bible. The tongue is compared to like a sword. It's compared to like a knife. It's compared to poison. It's compared to fire. And just like we've got EMS, we've got a couple nurses here this morning. We've got medical professionals here this morning. You don't treat a burn the same way you treat a wound. You don't treat a person that's just consumed poison the same way you would treat somebody that's had a third-degree burn. And so the Bible does tell us how that we can deal with those situations, with the hurt, with the injury, with the words that we speak. And by the way, years and years ago, people used to say as kids, I'm sure you've heard this, sticks and stones, help me out now, sticks and stones may what? By what? Isn't that the biggest lie you ever heard? It really is. Because words do hurt, and words do cause injury. And our tongue, the Bible says our tongue is like poison, our tongue is like fire, and we're going to talk about that this morning. But our tongue, he said, it is full of deadly poison, and it can wreck and ruin a lot of folks. Sometimes we don't even realize the power of our tongue. We're going to see in Proverbs in just a few minutes where the Bible says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Does it matter what I say? Does it matter what I speak? I can speak words that are encouraging. I can speak words that are truthful. I can speak words that are uplifting, but at the same time, I can speak words that are very cutting, that are very deadly, that will just cut you off at the knees. This tongue of mine, if I am not careful, it can cause much pain and much injury. So James says here that a man that is mature, a woman that is mature, understands that no man can tame this tongue. It takes the divine unction of the Holy Ghost of God. And think about it just a minute. Don't you think that God gave us two ears and two eyes for a reason and one tongue. Amen. We're to hear twice as much and listen twice as much as we speak. Let's read on for a minute. I can tell this is going to be one of those that we're just going to have to ride the roller coaster with for the next couple weeks. Now watch this in verse number 8. But the tongue can no man tame. And by the way, after 40 years, Sister Gail, I have finally come to the conclusion that I cannot change anybody. As much as I would love to, I cannot change anybody. And he says here that no man can tame a tongue, and I cannot tame your tongue. And so here this morning, as we preach and try to deliver this message, there's going to be a temptation. You're going to look at your sister or your two sisters and say, hey, I heard you say something that wasn't just right. There's going to be a temptation. Has your mom ever looked at you and said, hey, I want to tell you, you shouldn't have said that? There's a temptation sometime to try to correct everybody. I'm not here to try to correct you. I cannot. The Holy Spirit can, though. And through the Word of God, if we are understanding this, if we are applying this to our life, then when the Holy Spirit touches our heart and the Holy Spirit convicts us and the Holy Spirit begins to deal with this tongue of ours, then we'll stop and think. And I'll read on just a second. I said we're going to read the whole chapter, but we ain't going to have time. So let's notice in verse number 9, verse 8. So the tongue no man can tame. Here's verse 9 where I want to get to. Therewith bless we God, even the Father, and therewith curse we men, which are after the same similitude of God. Out of the same mouth proceedeth blessings. And say it with me, everybody. You got a King James. Out of the mouth proceedeth blessings and what? Oh, but you say, not me, preacher. Oh, no, sirree. I do not take God's name in vain. That's not what he's talking about here. He's not talking about profanity. By the way, there's a lot of words in our Bible that describe our conversation. There are the words like profanity, vain talking, coarse jesting. We'll deal with those in the weeks to come. But this word here, a curse, is when we think about us down south, us southerners, we just say plain old cussing. Amen. You ever been cussed out? Well, yes, I have. But we're not talking about using four-letter words. We're not talking about bringing God down on our level. We're not talking about profanity when he talks about cursing. If we are honest, and I have to be this morning, that we are all guilty of using cursing in our vocabulary. You say, oh, not me, preacher. I'll tell you one thing. No. Wait, well, just hang on just a few minutes and we'll see. But notice what he says here. James says, out of the same mouth comes blessing, and out of the same mouth comes cursing. And he goes on to say, these things ought not to be so. Look at verse 11, for time's sake. Let me just skip ahead. And he said, now let me give you an illustration. Can the fountain bring forth good water? Can it bring forth spring water? And can it bring forth salt water? And the answer is, come on, say it with me, right? No. He goes on to say, can a fig tree, in verse number 12, can a fig tree bear olive berries? And the answer is? No. Say it with me, everybody. No. And he says here, in verse number 12, no fountain can both yield salt water and fresh water. He says that you cannot walk outside to the garden that we have and go out to the squash and go out to the cucumbers and look down and say, man, what happened to the blueberries? They're not there. You can't go over to the tomato plants and the corn and expect to find peaches. Like produces like. And in this tongue of ours, in this mouth of ours, James says that
Out of this mouth proceeds blessing. Out of this mouth proceeds cursing. It ought not to be so. It ought to all be blessing. Amen. Our tongue is to be used to uplift. Our tongue is to be used to encourage. Our tongue is to be used to strengthen. It is not to be used to defeat. It is not to be used to talk down. It is not to be used to criticize. It is not to turn. It is to uplift our tongue. And so this morning, I want to start and preach a little while on the subject, the power of the tongue. Would you pray with me, please? Heavenly Father, in Jesus' name, I come to you today. Lord, I need thy help. I need thy strength. Heavenly Father, I pray that you'd open up the scripture so that we would have crystal clear understanding. Help me not to say anything of vain report. Help me, Lord, not to say anything that you would not want said. Guard these lips of clay. God, guide this mind. Help it to be the mind of Christ. And Father, speak to every heart, including mine. For we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
I heard of a fellow one time that joined a monastery. And so they said to him as he joined this monastery, you can speak two words every 10 years. You can't speak at all until the 10 years is up. So year one went by, year two, three, four, five, six, seven, eight, nine. Finally, year 10 came, and they called him in, and they said, what do you have to say for yourself? He said, bed hard. See ya. So he goes back. 10 years pass again. He comes back in. They said, what do you have to say for yourself? He said, food bad. Okay, see you in 10 years. The third 10 years passed by. He walks in, and they say, what do you have to say for yourself? He says, I quit. They said, it's no surprise to me. All the thing you've done the whole time you've been here is complain. The whole time you've complained. I wonder what people would think of us when they hear our name. Do they think of us as someone that would be one that would encourage and uplift? Or do when folks hear our name, they say, oh yeah, I know that person. Everything that comes out of their mouth is either lies or deceit, or I know that person. I know their reputation. Look here in the book of James. This morning, James tells us in these few chapters we have in James, chapters 1 through 5, is a measure of our spiritual maturity. We find in James chapter number 1, there are four T's in the book of James. Chapter number 1, verse number 2, there are temptations. How we respond to the temptations of life will determine our spiritual maturity. When people say, well, you know, I just couldn't help myself. It was just such a great temptation. That's not being a very mature Christian. How do you respond to the temptations as they come in our life? That will determine how mature you are in the Lord. You could be saved 20, 30, 40, 50 years. And when the temptations come, if you've not grown in the Lord, if you've not grown in reading your Bible, if you've not grown in prayer, my friend, when the temptations come, you're going to fall into those temptations. Not God's fault. Amen? Second of all, you'll find in chapter 1, verse number 3, is trials. How you respond to those trials of life. And by the way, people today think that the Christian life is a bed of roses. They think the Christian life is just smooth sailing. They think the Christian life ought to be on top of the mountain all the time. Honey, I got news for you. The Christian life is not an easy life. It is a life that is filled with trials many times. How do you respond to those trials? Woo! Oh, I don't know how. Help me. Let me go find a nerve pill. Let me go find a shot of whiskey. That's how the world deals with it. How do you deal with it? When the temptations come, when the trials of life come, do you go all to pieces or do you have an anchor in the Lord Jesus Christ? Third of all, James says in chapter 3 here, our tongue is a measure of our maturity in the Lord. How we use our tongue. If we use it for good, if we use it for bad. And then last of all, we'll find in James chapter 5,
Verse number 19, there's the truth. How do you apply the truth of God's word to our life determines how spiritual mature you are. But I want to talk about this morning and the weeks to come on chapter number 3, the tongue. Look in James 3 and verse 5. The tongue is a very little member of our body, and yet it boasts great and mighty things. Notice what he said in chapter 3, verse number 5. He said, first of all, the tongue, and he likens the tongue. First of all, he said, it's likened unto just a bridle that we put in the horse's mouth. If you stick your finger there, turn back over to Psalm chapter 39, and let's listen to what Psalm 39, verse 1 said. David said here in Psalm 39, 1, I said, I will take heed to my ways that I sin not with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. David said, when the wicked is before me, I've got to bridle my tongue so that I don't say anything that could be detrimental. Honey, let me tell you something. When a wicked man or a wicked woman, an unsaved individual, is sitting beside of you, when they are at work somewhere, does your tongue magnify the Lord Jesus? Does it speak good things, or do you tear things down? David said, I've got to bridle this tongue of mine, because if I'm not careful and I speak something derogatory, if I talk about another Christian, if I say something negative about the preacher, if I tear down the church, that lost man might go to hell because of my tongue. Can I get amen? So he says, first of all, a bit that goes in a horse's mouth. Now, I'm not familiar that much with horses. I've been on one time. I'll be on one another time when the Bible says we come back riding on a white horse. He's going to ride on a white horse. I got news for you. They may have to get a Clydesdale for me, but I'm coming back on a horse. But they put a bit in the mouth of a horse, and they tell me as they turn the reins, then it that huge hundreds of pounds of an animal, that one little bit in his mouth can change the whole direction of that huge animal. Just that one little bit. Second of all, notice what he says. Not only he compares the tongue to a bit as in the horse's mouth, but he said it's like a rudder on a huge ocean liner. Relatively small. Brother Steve's familiar with boats. He's familiar with yachts. He's familiar with the manufacturer of them. And compared to probably a 100-foot yacht, the rudder is a very small member of that boat. It doesn't take a large rudder to turn the direction of a ship. And James says that when you look at a large ship, underneath the ship there's a small piece of wood or small piece of metal, and as the helmsman turns the wheel and it shifts the rudder, then it changes the whole direction of that vessel. Do you realize this morning your tongue can change the direction of your life? Oh, now she's starting to get real silent in here. Your tongue can change the direction of your life. The Bible says, as a man thinketh in his heart, help me out if you know the verse, so is he. Every action that we do began with a thought process. Have you ever tried something in your life and you thought for certain, I cannot do this. It is an impossible task. I can't get through nursing school. I can't get through college. I can't even get through high school. And your thought process translates into action. But then again, some people say, I can do that. I can do that. And we will think about something and then we'll act upon it. We will put a thought process in our brain and say, I can do this. By God's help, I can do this. By the good grace of God, I can do this. And we can act upon that based on faith, based on the reality that this book is true. Can you get an amen there? Do you believe the Bible is the Word of God? Amen. It doesn't contain it. It is the living Word of God.
He said that his words are truth and his words are life. They are life-giving words. So does it matter what I say? Does it matter what comes out of these lips? Does it matter what comes out of this mouth of mine? Yes, it does. Look at the third thing here that he compares our tongue to. He says the tongue is like a matchstick. All those wildfires raging out west started with just probably a match. One little match set the whole course of nature on fire. And beloved, our tongue is like that. The little things that we say, the little things that we, the little comments that we make, sometimes we think it doesn't really matter. Sometimes we look at somebody. Have you ever said this? You know, she'll never amount to anything. Have you ever said, man, you know, if I didn't have bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. Have you ever said to somebody, you know, they'll be late for their own funeral. Do you realize that what I have just said are examples of cursing? I didn't use God's name in vain. I didn't take God's name. But what I did was I declared something that is good to be something that is bad. I spoke, and if you say to your child, hey, you know, son, you would forget your head if it wasn't screwed on. That's a curse. Did everybody just leave all of a sudden? I didn't see you? No, you're still there. Do you realize that what we say has an impact on what people believe? Do you realize what we say has an impact upon what God says in His Word? Amen. So I think it's very important we know what we should be saying. What is, look in verse number 9 quickly. Man, time's going awful fast. Y'all don't mind if you just stay the afternoon with me, do you? I mean, we're going to be here all day anyway. I didn't get too many amens on that. Look at verse 9 quickly. He says, out of the same mouth proceeds blessings and cursings. He said, with the same tongue we bless the Lord and we curse men. What is a blessing? A blessing that he's talking about here is speaking something good. A blessing is like coming in the house of God and you said, "Woo, glory! Thank the Lord, He saved my soul." That's a blessing. A blessing is praise the Lord for His goodness. A blessing is speaking something good. On the other hand, a curse is speaking something bad. Speaking something negative. I heard about two fellows that went to church one Sunday morning. One walked in, he sat down, and the musicians played, the choir sang, and the preacher preached. And so as they were going out, the preacher was shaking hands, and one fellow came by him, and he said, "Preacher, I just want to let you know, the music was fabulous this morning. The piano, it was on key, the organ was right on target, the music was great, the choir's music spoke to my heart, and your message, it blessed me." Then the other man, as he walked out, he said, "Did you know that the piano's out of tune and the choir hit an off note? And by the way, that message you preached, I just really didn't think much about it." Same situation, two different individuals. We can have blessings or either we can have cursings. We can either speak something that is going to uplift people or we can speak something that's going to tear people down. We can either speak something that's encouraging or we can speak something that's going to tear them down.
Notice something here. What is he talking about? Blessings and cursings. What would that sound like?
Well, let's say you got up this morning and the alarm clock went off and you got up and you reached over and you touched the alarm and you got up and you said, "Good morning, Lord. Now this is the day the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it. I know that God has prepared some good stuff for me today. I know that He's prepared my way. He said the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. Honey, it's time to get up and let's get ready and go to church." That would be a blessing.
But on the other hand, the alarm clock goes off, and all of a sudden you reach over and you,
oh no, we're running late. Oh Lord, instead of good morning, Lord, it's, oh Lord, it's morning. Hey, hurry up, get out of bed. We're going to be late this one. I knew we was going to be late. I knew we shouldn't have stayed up late last night. I knew it, I knew it, I knew it. Hey, get in the car. Let's go. Hurry up. Hey, kids, come on. You got that. What's wrong with you?
Isn't it amazing how that we can have such a terrible time an hour before church, and when we get to church, I mean, you come dragging in and you slam the door and your wife's foot get caught in the door of the car, and you come halfway cussing and sliding into church and throwing gravel everywhere, and you get out and you come in. Oh, man, hurry up, we're going to be a preacher's going, he's going, come on, would you hurry up? And you walk in and go, all of a sudden it just 360, God bless your heart. Hallelujah, you're looking so good today. Isn't that amazing? Out of the same mouth proceeds blessing. Out of the same mouth proceeds cursing.
Does it matter what we say? Let's take a real close look this morning. Does it matter what we say? The words that we speak in our homes, on the job, at church. Do the words that we say line up with the scripture this morning? You may be wondering why it is so important. Why is it so important? James 1:26 says, look here. He says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceives his own heart, his religion is in vain. Sad to say that a lot of folks, they come to church and they'll take a songbook and they'll sing the praises of Jesus. They'll sing, oh, how good it is to trust in Jesus. And then they'll go out, and before they even get in the car, they're worried about how they're going to make it next week. And they'll come into the house of God and they'll stand and they'll sing, down at the cross where my Savior died. Down for cleansing from sin applied. And then they go right back out and they'll speak words that are contrary to what they've sung about. Why is it so important? My friend, this morning I want you to think about, probably you've heard people say things before. Probably you've heard people say things in Christian families today. Sometimes homes are filled with bickering and fussing and children and that are being talked down to, husbands and wives that are arguing and criticizing and nagging one another, and churches where members use their tongue, stir up strife and complain and criticize and they complain about everything. My friend, the Bible says here, our tongue can change the whole destiny of an individual. Notice something here. Look in verse number 8 quickly this morning. He says that the tongue can no man tame. It's an unruly, evil, full of deadly poison. On one hand, we use our tongues to bless the Lord, and then we turn right around and use our tongues to curse men. How can a fountain bring forth good water and poor water? It cannot. Whatever is down in the heart is going to eventually come out the mouth. Isn't it amazing sometimes that we say things and we don't even realize what we're saying? Sometimes the things that come out of our mouth, instead of being something that is good and holy and uplifting, we say things, we've heard things, and all of a sudden our mouth gets in gear before our brain does, and we say stuff, and then
we regret it later.
How many times the same mouth that hopefully says to your child or to your grandchild, I love you. I'm so proud of you. I thank God for you. He gave you to me. The same mouth during the week may be heard to say, shut up. Put that down. Stop that right now. I don't care what you are doing. Come here right now. Listen to me. Give me that. Don't touch that. Not like that, stupid. Go away. Leave me alone. Can't you see I'm busy? Boy, that was really dumb. You'll lose your head if it wasn't screwed on. Hurry up! We don't have all day. What's the matter with you? Can't you hear anything? I don't know what I'm going to do with you. You will never amount to anything. I wonder how many homes the child in the home hears those things. At one point, the mother and the dad put their arm around them. They say, honey, I want to let you know I love you. But then before, almost out of the same mouth, there's a curse that comes out.
Why is it sometimes that we say things and then it shouldn't surprise us when people act the way in which we say? In other words, if we say to somebody, hey, you know, she'll never be on time, why should it surprise us if they're on time? Hello? Let me tell you a real quick story. Time's going fast, but let me tell you a real quick story. This is a true story. There was a group of college students, and they were doing an experiment one time. They had these laboratory rats. Excuse me. Hang on just a second. All right. I'll use another word. Mice. How's that? Is that better? No. It was snakes last week, so it's rats this week. So they were using these laboratory animals. Y'all know what I'm talking about? You know, a little gray with a tail. Okay. And so the professor said to these college students, true story, this professor said, we're going to do an experiment with these laboratory animals. And we have this maze, and so we're going to put some cheese at the end of the maze, and we're going to see how many of these laboratory animals get through the maze. Now, the professor told this group of college students, he said, there's three groups of these laboratory animals. There is this overachiever group. Then there is an underachiever group, and then there's just an average group of these laboratory animals. So he told these college students, he said, you know, you guys that get these overachiever laboratory animals, I'd go ahead and stock up on the cheese, because these laboratory animals are going to get through that maze every single time, so you better have enough cheese at the end of it. And then those underachievers, I wouldn't even worry a whole lot about them. Some of them will, some of them won't. And then that middle group, he said, they're average. So use your own judgment. So for 30 days, they did this experiment with these laboratory animals. True story. End of the 30 days, the professor had the college students report their findings. Sure enough, here's the findings. The overachiever laboratory animals, they got to the cheese most every time. Those that were underachievers, you can forget that. That cheese sat there and just mold. But them average, some did, some didn't. But this is what he told them. There are no overachiever laboratory animals. There are no underachiever laboratory animals. They're all the same. The experiment was not with the laboratory animals. The experiment was with the students. Somehow, some way, they communicated their expectations to those animals. They communicated, I don't know how, but have you ever seen this to happen? That whatever you expect people to do, they'll do it. If you expect them to make good grades, if you expect them to excel, they're going to do it. But if you expect them to be a failure, they're going to do what you expect them to do. If you expect bad behavior, guess what? They're going to have bad behavior. Our mouth, our words, we either bless or we tear down. There's a fellow wrote a book. His name is John Trent. He gave this story in this book. Let me read this to you. When I read it last night, I cried. It tells a story about the first time a father took his little girl out for a daddy date. After getting their pancakes at a fast food restaurant, the dad decided that it would be a good time to tell his daughter how much she was loved and appreciated. He said, Jenny, I want you to know how much I love you and how special you are to Mom and me. We prayed for you for the years, and now that you're here and growing up to be such a wonderful girl, we couldn't be prouder of you. Once he had said that, he stopped talking, reached over to get his fork to begin eating his pancakes, but he never got the fork to his mouth. His daughter reached out her little hand and laid it on his father. His eyes went to hers, and in a soft, pleading voice, she simply said, longer, Daddy, longer. He put down his fork and told her some more reasons they loved and appreciated her. And once again, he reached for his fork a second time, and then a third time, and then a fourth time, each time hearing the words, longer, Daddy, longer. Though the father didn't get to eat much that morning, his daughter got exactly what she needed. In fact, a few days later, she spontaneously ran up to her mother and said, Mommy, I'm a really special daughter. Daddy told me so.
I wonder, how many of us as parents, grandparents, with the words of our mouth, do we bless them or do we curse them? Do we expect them to walk with God, to be a true believer, to read their Bible? Do we expect them to excel in what God has put in their heart to do? Are we issuing out a curse? They're always been that way. They'll never do any better. They'll never achieve. They'll never grow up. They're just like their daddy. They're just like their mother. They'll never change their way of living. They're always going to be the same way. They're always going to struggle with sin. They're always going to do this. Oh, my friend. Could we this morning examine this tongue of ours and we say, oh God, let me take this tongue and put it on this altar. And God, in Jesus' name, would you help me that every word that comes out of this mouth would be words of blessing, words of encouragement, words of strength, not words of defeat, not words that would tear down, not words that would defame, but words that would glorify, words that would encourage, words that would speak peace and speak good things and speak those things that will be pleasing to the Lord. Oh God, we need your help. We need your help. Would you bow your heads, please, for a moment of prayer? Every head bowed, every eye closed. I don't know about you this morning, and I can't change the way you talk, and I hope that we just kind of touched on the tip of iceberg. But with the same mouth that we bless and the same mouth that we curse, I wonder this morning, search your heart. Search your life. I can't change anybody, but the Holy Ghost of God can.